Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده. السلام عليكم. This is Martha Naila Abdullah and welcome to CWSC National Town Hall Straight to the Point 50-Year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiatives. Thank Almighty God for this moment in time and for our being human. And the question is, what does being human mean to you? Only you, the you in all of us, can answer based upon where we are in our thinking at this moment in time. Whether what we think on what does being human mean to you has a relationship creation, the responsibility of the creation, human creation, to the Creator, expressed in the human being in service humanity. And so the bottom line to that is humanity. Respecting humanity, or respecting the humanity of humanity. And that calls for all of us to be responsible, to be held accountable, all of our actions. One to another, we may not see what we do at all times and when we do it. We may not see the others. We see ourselves. And even then, sometimes we are consciously lost, so much so that we can't really appreciate decision-making. So we become depreciated, and then we cause harm to others. We devalue the human being, and the humanity thereof. So we are seeing the picture right in front of us now in 2023. And blessedly, documentation has been from the time well before we can even imagine, fathom, time being in existence. Being human means, now we can say, what does being human mean to me? Each one of us, take that on. What does being human mean to me? Sharing that worldwide, see how we bring the human being to the table for mutual consultation. In Arabia, we will say, Amrahum Shura Bainahum. Human mean to me. Is also a question. How did I become human? Or what brought us to the point of saying that we are human? Why is it so direct that being human means that I have to see myself as being human? Then that forces me to ask myself certain questions. After I answer, what does being human mean to me? That means that I am a human being. I'm being what? The being coming before the word human. What does being human mean? Then I am a human being. What? How? When, where, do I pick and choose when to be human? Being human. What else can I be? And if I choose to be anything else, am I still human? That brings us to the point of those of us who have been studying and listening to and studying, thinking over the commentaries of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, Rahimullahu Alayh. May the mercy of Almighty God be upon him. When his word about being human is a consciousness, an awareness, an awareness of being responsible,
our being here means that we have the use of our senses. We can feel. We can hear. We can see. We can think. And then we come to realize that there are several dimensions to our thinking and how we connect with our thinking, the words in our mind, what the words mean, define those words, and then put them into use in sentence form. And in the sentence, there are directives. You know, we would say the direct and indirect objects. But the sentence carries a big message. Being human, then we began to outline the first thing is relationships. First relationship in our adult life we come to realize is the Creator. There is the Creator, not a, but the Creator. So the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiatives starts there, clarifying that we termed it as faith, the relationship with the Creator, and a belief system, a system that supplies us with a reminder or remembrance of the Creator. That belief system, what it looks like to each of us, we will determine. And when we sit and have conversations with the intent to stay or keep connected, the human family to the Creator, to the remembrance of the Creator, and look at also the prophetic mode that gives us our examples, which for all of humanity is Prophet Muhammad. To that, and we each began to write our book. What an initiative that is. Because then we're appreciating the life that the Creator has granted us. That is an acknowledgement in and of itself that we will begin to write life however we want to share it, but share it nonetheless. Now we're going to take a pause here, and we're going to ask you to join us. Join us by pressing 1 on your phone, and that will bring you into the queue, and we will open your mic. First, let's get to that point of where we can actually go there. One moment. All right, yes. Who are on with us? In about another, at top of the hour, will be Dipreeta Abdul-Hadi, who will join us by beginning Al-Islam in Focus.
So if we do nothing but get the declaration understood that yes, yes, the question is, yes, I can answer the question, and then go individually to how responsible am I to the relationship with the Creator. Not scapegoat, not scathing over it, but truly identifying that. How responsible am I to be with my relationship with the Creator? And really get into the various levels of the relationship. Because it is one thing when we just say, okay, my relationship with the Creator is this. Well, it doesn't stop there. If I say, for an example, if I say my relationship with the Creator is that I pray each morning when I get up as I'm awakened by the Creator, so I say my prayers. I say my daily prayers. I say the five daily prayers that have been concluded as being as referred to that in the message, well, the explanation with a hadith that was shared with us about Prophet Muhammad upon him going on at the ascension, moving upward and meeting different individuals, which was first identified as Father Adam. Father Adam. And second, Jesus and John. And the third, to level, the Creator has addressed certain examples, I guess you would say, that we can connect with, all right? So Father Adam, then Brother Jesus and John, rest in peace be upon both of them and upon Prophet Adam, and then Yusuf is on the third level. Rest in peace be upon him. On the fourth level, Idris. Rest in peace be upon him. Fifth level, Harun. Rest in peace be upon him. Sixth level, is Musa, Moses. The seventh level, and that's brother. Seventh level, Ibrahim or Abraham, and that's father, the second father. Adam, first, and since we're moving upwards, we'll continue with number seven. Seven is Ibrahim. And that helps just knowing Father Adam and Father Ibrahim. Then we get to Muhammad, which brings it all together, the eighth level. Everyone may not understand the ascension, but I liken it to this, moving from not knowing anything as a newborn baby, then naming everything, then comparing thing, in and out, up, down, the opposite, but doing the comparison, then having thoughts in our head, and we're connecting with possibilities. It's intuition, we say, but we're connecting on the level of possibilities where the creative juices are beginning to flow like a what-if kind of situation. And then on the fourth level, say, is Idris. Now we know we're collectively pulling those thoughts. And when we do, pulling those thoughts together. And when we do, now we have established an educational process. Now we can say, I know. And we've balanced it out with definite. What goes up definitely will come down. Why? Gravity. I won't say put water in a freezer, but during the cold climate or temperature, water will freeze. During light and dark. That's what I wanted to say. But anyway, we're being educated, and then we automatically test the areas. That's the Hyrum. And we test ourselves in connection with what we are experiencing, the light and the darkness. How does it make us feel? The cold, the warm, the hot, the cool. How does it make us feel? And we respond by putting on different layers of clothing or not. Then we get to Musa, and we begin to get this governance situation. And we say, wow, okay. A person who's making the call, a person who's assessing everything, identifying things, and knowing that you've identified your main things, you have your intuitive, your creative juices, have your educational self in place now, learning different things, the definites and that which is indefinite, indefinite such as, you know, the air. You can't stop it from being, right? Then the governance. How is the you in all of us? How are we respecting air, respecting oxygen and the connection of oxygen and hydrogen, the connection of what, you know, the atomic process to everything, what is combustible, even to Almighty God. Let's go to, let's go to the board here, and we're going to be taking public service announcement, sharing it. This is CWSC National Town Hall, Straight to the Point, 50-Year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiative. And as we continue to stay connected to what is, and how is life going on, and as we leave what we have to offer, others will take it on, our lives, all of our lives. So it doesn't take 50 years to get it done. It's just that we have ignited, it was ignited in 2021, January. I mean, it was January 6th, January 1st, 3rd, and January 2nd in 2021. And we're moving right along. Work is being done. And the work, and that includes documentation. Now, respectfully, praise be to Almighty God, associated or aligned with the leadership of Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah, is now becoming more connected. We're bringing what everyone has to offer together to the table, and putting it into some shape and form with it, more than just those who have been studying and documenting and all. Now it can be shared with others. We're going to be meeting October 20th through the 22nd for the purpose of getting to know one another, at the same time putting forth methods and discussing and putting plans of actions, but first identifying what it is that can and should be done, get an agreement of the majority of who's present, and going from there and putting in place some measurable goals, and those goals then are continued to be plans of action to achieve those goals. So it'll call on all of us who, again, we ask the question, what does being human mean to you?
how responsible are we first with the with our relationship with the Creator? So press 1 on your phone. We will take on your call when we come back from our public service announcement. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I'm just the host of this. But anyone can facilitate it, host it, and the work still has to be done. We don't want to go back into the hole of not applying ourselves. We have something to offer to the whole of society, and that is to plan how life can be in years to come, and we want to make that difference, inshallah. Stay with us, dear listeners.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
And we're back, dear listeners, and welcome back. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah, and that was, as you heard, Commissioner Fleming Alamein of North Carolina, Cheryl Sadduz of California, and Amatullah Sabri, I believe, of North Carolina as well. And here we are in this particular time, and we want to hear from you what thoughts are on your mind and being human mean to you. Many have answered that question as we have been collaborating, communicating, connecting and communicating for the last 2 years. And now we're, only Almighty God could make it happen to where larger groups are wanting to connect. All we know here at CWSC is that the foundation that was placed by, established by that of Thomas Abdussalam and with the assistance of his wife, Dr. Aisha Kareem, what has come about, I could never fathom. I didn't even think of how to bring it into being. But when you're given something, but we can't unless we are in a prayerful mode and we are open-minded, definitely open-minded, cannot come with a free, and this is Martha Nyla sharing this, and being human and being understanding, connecting, wanting to show, be of the humanity, and understanding what that looks like means there's no pre-thought out, really truly asking the Creator to lead us and guide us. And but what we have, and to appreciate what we come with. And we come with years of learning. The different experiences that we have had mean something to us. That what we've gained, what have we gained from what we've experienced? And are we willing to share it in a way, in a more applicable manner? Meaning that, and for an example, I'm looking at the dimensions. I'm placing things in my life in the last 70 years that I'm aware of. Of those 70 years, I could go back to one point when I was two,
don't remember much, 3, 4, and 5. Remember going to kindergarten, but don't remember much. But at 6, being in first grade, being in second grade, situations occurred. Now, those situations, I can look back and assess them now. Why am I able to assess them? What is happening with my mind that I'm able to assess them? And what gives me the desire to be able to assess it? So whatever is happening with me is happening, the outcome of my thinking is happening with others, meaning the ability to think. And whatever we've gone through, open it up, look at it, dissect it. Look at what is important about what we've experienced and know that the Creator, everything that happens, happens with there being a reasoning behind it. A reasoning would bring about a strength, or it would indicate a weakness. So this today, in today's time, let me see if anyone's understanding and pressing one. In today's time, we have established what we call organizations. And those organizations learn from individual human beings, the establishment of the organized process of the body and the process that happens. So what a takeaway from that for an initiative for the 50-year human family strategic planning is that we don't take for granted that the human being, where they are, who they are, that they can't think. So we will say the positive part is everyone can think. Now, is everyone able to assess their thinking or assess the outcome of their thoughts? Maybe not. But we see the thinking process nonetheless. So for those who are able to stand back, observe, research and development, make an observation, a scientific process, conclusions, write exactly what you see, and have more than just one person looking at the same process. So, and the process that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking of, rather, is the communities. I mean, exactly a community of houses, recreation centers, city halls, electrical, what do you call those things where they have the electric booms, or I'm saying booms, but transformer area, gardening or farming or the agriculture. Seeing the whole, looking at that and sincerely writing down, okay, how is the public transportation, how is it helping the human family? How are the streets, how the pavement, the use of tar or the use of bricks that have to be laid by hand, and even the construct of the streets that crisscross one another. There are those streets that are perpendicular to one another, and there are those streets that's parallel to one another. Perpendicular, one street going in a horizontal or vertical manner, and then it meets another street, but that street is going across the top in a T fashion. That's perpendicular. Parallel, they're both running in the same direction, and they never connect. What are the benefits? Are there benefits? And if so, do the benefits outweigh the problematic process, a problematic process? What are some problems? Say we grow a tree in the middle of a town, neighborhood. There are. Is the tree the problem? Let's assess it. Is the tree the problem? I would say no. Is the location of the tree the problem? Well, you would say maybe the tree was in someone's yard,
and the child climbed it? What is truly, is there a problem because the child broke their, fell and broke their arm? Maybe it's more security for the child, education needed for the child. That truly educated the child to a degree. Now the child knows, be, and we hear the word careful, right? Be careful. And that we see when water, the rain falls. And as the rain is falling, how do we know that we need drainages? Because the water collects. We have puddles and puddles of water. Now we're using our own transportation. We drive through the water. Brings on a whole nother process that we layer, put that over to the side. Vehicles that can be sustained driving through puddles of water that will not kill the engine. But let's get back over here to the water part. The water collecting on the streetways. What needs to be done? So on every level of community life, for those who are thinkers and able to look at communities and how they're developed, study the animals from one angle. How do the birds, where do they stay when they're not out where we can see them? What is a woodpecker doing when it's pecking on the tree? What is a beaver doing? What is it through the years? We can tell because we now have access to those, the pictures and the videos and camera taking are from years ago. And those pictures that were put into the encyclopedias. And it was all for the benefit of us studying it. So we don't have to go back to the raw. But we never want to leave the raw. In other words, we never want to be distant from the natural creation. We want to be able to study that. So now, is that another initiative? Yes. Always keep the human something that we want to go into the oncoming years, letting it be known. Because, and what's the because? We have seen by us sitting back and studying and just looking at seeing how children are captivated by electronic devices or by artificial situations or by being alone and not interacting with a variety of people or, you know, or the human touch. They've studied it with babies, babies being cared, lifted and cared for and hugged, even though all the babies are fed, those that were given the special attention and with the human touch, inhuman way of just picking the child up robotically and just putting the, however the baby is fed in his mouth. That baby, the senses, we've come to understand the importance of those senses. That is the learning institution already that Almighty God has established, a true learning institution. So we now, for the human family then, an initiative is maintain the truest educational institution. And that is, again, keeping the human family connected to the natural creation. So praise be to Almighty God. We pray that, again, this has many layers to it, not just a one-word thing, and then we can say, okay, let's go on to the next thing. This is our relationship with the Creator. The human relationship with the Creator. Being human mean to you. And then we ask ourselves, what does being human mean to me? All right, dear listeners, we're drawing close up to the hour for Al-Islam and Focus. We would love to hear from you. Much is going to be shared at the 2023 Community Leadership and Development in Orlando, Florida. This will be historic because those who have connected with Imam Warithuddin Muhammad and have a relationship with
his leadership will be able to apply what we've been led by, and that is logic, having an understanding, not jumping to conclusions, keeping an open mind, but coming with a sincere heart and an open heart. I know that's going to be my approach, and I believe that that will be the approach of others. And I believe what we will find, too, is that influence, being influenced is something that is automatic. It applies itself in the sense of, well, let's table that. Let's table that. We'll keep that tabled. Just bringing an open heart and an open mind when we have Amr Hum Shura Baina Hum, mutual consultation. As we can talk about the problems so much on it, it can go on and on and on, looking for solutions, and we're looking for processes that can be implemented on a continuous basis, that it will truly develop and remake the world of the human family. The trees are not the problem. The grass is not the problem. The flowers, the insects, the rivers, they're not the problem. We can help situate them in different ways all over this earth. We know now on reading Quran, with this instruction is instructive signs all through the Quran where Almighty God, the relationship we have with the Creator, then we read the word and we keep rereading and rereading and rereading. We will find that we will archaeologically, or those who study the earth itself, they will share with us, you need mountains, you need hills, you need trees, you need, because otherwise the flat surface will become a problem. Praise be to Almighty God. So press 1 on your phone if you want to join in sharing what does being human mean to you and how that relates to our relationship with the Creator, and we call it having faith and having a belief system. Having faith is an internal operation. The belief system is an outward action. Coordinated, we'll see. And that belief system is transferable. But the faith is an individual internal having faith. And that's an asset that we will take with us to connect with other thinkers. This is all about thinkers. I'm speaking now back to the conference. All about thinkers coming forth, bringing the best that they have to offer. And we are at the end of the year. We say, now this is October, November, December, and we're thankful that the CWSC, let me get real specific here with our organizational self, CWSC, AM360 will be having its end of the year telethon. So we want to have everyone engaged, and we want our medium connection. We want to be able to benefit from one another. So the more the merrier, right? Is showing the connectivity, showing the communication process that we're advancing because we're interacting with one another for the good. And so at the end of the year, so here I'm going to share with you a public service announcement on the end of the year telethon.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC annual end of year telethon to help us financially secure our Intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at cwsc.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our Intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
Praise be to Almighty God. And we are thankful that we have hosted the end of the year telethon in various voices. And being that this is the end of the year, they say, well, we're in October. Yes, isn't this the end quarter, last quarter of the year? So praise be to Almighty God. Intermittently, we will be sharing about the end of the year telethon. But it will take place in about the third week of December. So we're asking everyone to kind of gear yourself up and mentally and to think about the telethon time period. But what it means, literally, does it mean to give? And as I said, we're connecting with the medium. If you were on earlier today, you heard one of our connections, thankfully, with Latifa Hameen, bringing together the book reading, Muslim Book Club. I heard our dear sister, Sultana Ali. I heard Imam Mikhail Sahir. I heard Mark Shaheed. I heard Rabia Jackson. And I heard Latifa Hameen. And so sharing in the wealth, you know, we can help one another. That's the bottom line. So in order to see and reap the benefits of our efforts, then we want to spread the love, spread the time, spread the consideration and caring. We want to be of a help to one another. So we're all striving for the same thing, to be true servants of Almighty God. That's our striving. That's our overall objective. For even being organized, true, humble servant to Almighty God. So if you have any comments you'd like to share, this is the 50-Year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiatives. and believe you me. As I say those words, I'm remembering my mother used to say those words, believe you me. And I wonder, why does it say believe you me? But praise be to Almighty God. We now know if you study Arabia, you know that that's kind of the way that it happens, right? The verb is there, and then the subject is attached to the verb. Yes, so believe is the action. You is the pronoun, but the subject. So believe you me, and then everyone. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah, and again, this is the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiatives. And as we've stated, we ask the question, what does being human mean to you? And then you internalize it and ask, what does being human mean to me? And eventually we will dedicate ourselves to writing our own books so that we can leave for others to read years to come. And we do dedicate ourselves to that. Our life is important, and we can prove that our lives are important by putting it in writing. Who are you? Who are you? What are you? How are you? When are you? And I say are because when we write down my life started, I could say, you know, was it the day I came forth from the womb of my mother, March 18, 1952? I was a full-term baby, they said, nine months before, or the conceptualization of the process. When my life began, the dating of my life began March 18th, 1952. And if that is that, because we dated that way, I can see the comparison or the alignment with the calendar on the Hijra time that the Muslim began to travel to Medina from Mecca was the date and time that the calendar was established after the Prophet's life, prayers and peace be upon him. The months were already there in name, but then definitions, connections with those months became more aligned with the importance of the Hijri calendar. And so when it began, the year one, what happened? It began to write down what happened during year one, what happened during year two. And that was the life, we say, the new Medina, Manarwa was established when the incorporation of that Muslim life was established there. There were individuals living there before then. But the Hijri calendar, in particular, for the, those who were dedicating their life, of their existence, written document could read about their lives. So do we want that left untold? Are we relying on someone else to tell the story about our lives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So as best we can remember and as best we can journal current, and when we look back at and read what we've journaled, we can improve upon it, because sometimes when we write current things, we leave out some things. You know, you may say, well, you know, it may not be important to us at the moment to say, you know, I was in the apartment, and I realized it was time to start the show. Well, what show? Oh, CWSC, National Town Hall, Straight to the Point, 50-Year Human Family Strategic Planning of Initiatives. What did I do? Oh, well, I was communing with my grandchildren, and I immediately remembered, and I said, oh, I have to go.
I have to go and do the show. Let me get myself situated here. So I immediately grabbed my things, which included a notebook, my phone, and I proceeded to go to the car. And I just drove to an environment, an area where there are trees, and the air is blowing. You can see it through the trees moving. Environment. There's an agricultural greenhouse in front of me. And I see squirrels running after each other's tail, it seems like. Now, how is the weather? How's the day? There are birds flying in the air. There are a few white clouds moving very slowly, but they're moving across the blue sky. And then there are some people walking around, and there are cars moving about, being driven. And the homes, they're so quick. I don't see any movement with people, you know, in the homes. I just see the houses. And there's a school immediately to my right. Well, now, how important is that to some? Well, years from now, ones who read that will get a picture in their mind as to what's taking place. What, you know, how my surroundings were at the time that we were actually discussing what does being human mean to me? To me, the me in all of us, each one of us answering that question. So praise be to Almighty God. I mean, we can discuss what the price of gasoline is at this time, how prices have risen. You go in the grocery store and you see what you normally buy. Maybe you buy coffee. Maybe you buy bread. Maybe you buy whatever has been made available on the shelves. It's been pretty much brought to our front door. How did it get there? Do we take into consideration the truckers that have to move about on the roadways and the very roadways that they use? They have to pay highway tax to use those roadways to bring items closer to us, to make them accessible for us. Have we become so, is the word immune? Are so used to everything being right there for us that we can go to the corner store or we can go to the town grocery store and we have choices to make which grocery store we want to go to. Then we go in the grocery store itself. We have many choices to make. Bread I want. What kind of meat? What kind of jam? Or what kind of milk or coffee creamer? Or what kind of coffee even? Oh, the choices are great. So when individuals read about that, we don't know what the next year will look like. But someone reading about what 2005 was like, 2008, what was that like? Did we take the time to document? Do we have running water? Do we have in-house, what do you call them, utilities? Are we able to shower more frequent than once every month or once every week? Praise be to Almighty God. We have so much to be thankful for. And I believe that's a message that can go forward as well under the 50 years. Human family strategic planning of initiatives. That we be grateful. Well, praise be to Almighty God. It is now 5:02 and I'm out of time. I apologize. Let me get out of the whole seat for our dear sister, Depreta Abdul-Hadi. Thank you, dear listeners, for being here. I'm going to play a public service announcement, and you'll hear the next voice sharing with you. Depreta Abdul-Hadi. Apologize, Depreta.
Ah, yes. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, one of the gracious hosts here on American Muslim 360. And I am so happy to be able to share this moment with you. It is the end of the year, and we're asking you to join us with the end of the year telethon. You can go to cwsc.us and press on the blue button. That's the donate button. It is a confidential site. Help us reach our $10,000 goal. This is a tax-deductible contribution. Now, our most recurring and the most popular amount is $9.99 a month, or 33 cents a day. And that amount, based on all of us doing our part, will ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. You can mail your contribution, your gift, by sending in your check or your money order to CWSC, to CWSC Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Or you can call it in to 910-317-0297. A representative will assist you with making your contribution. Again, the end of the year telethon, and your assistance is needed. Reaching
out. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. Ihdinas siratal mustaqeem. Sirat al-Ladina amta alayhim, gayril madubi alayhim, walabdaadin. Amin. I seek refuge with Allah against the rejected enemy, Shaitan. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord and cherisher of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, thee do we worship, in thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, those who go not astray. I bear witness there is no God except Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is the Alcoholic, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all between. No partners have he, and I bear witness Muhammad of 1445 Ramadan, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger and the seal of the prophethood. I greet you and us with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to this evening's session of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio, the number one listening radio in the nation. And I am your host, the Preetha Abdul Hadi, servant of Allah, highly glorified is he, Al-Hadi, the guide. And as always, we open with big old hugs and love to you. Oh, alhamdulillah, I love you so dearly. Thank you so kindly. Squeeze me tight now. I'm squeezing your back tight now. Don't start nothing. Don't nobody start nothing. Get your big squeeze tight. Oh, I'm squeezing you. Oh, I feel you. I feel you. Thank you so kindly. You're so dear. Such a sweetheart. Thank you so kindly. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, that you're feeling my love back to you, because I am certainly feeling your love. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Of course, as you know, we continue to be in the third month of the Islamic calendar. You know, I think last week I was saying that by the time we got back this week, I was thinking that we would be into the
fourth month, but not just so fast. We are still in the third month of the Islamic calendar, the Hijra calendar, Rabi al-Awwal. And, of course, we remember that this is the month of love, 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 love. Don't start, and then, you know, you get hugs and love. And it was stated that this was the month of love because this was noted that it was the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, his birthday. Oh, alhamdulillah. But as I was stating last week, thinking that by the time we got back, we would be in the next. But we are not. We are still here. And today is the 29th day of Rabi al-Awwal, 1445 on the Hijra calendar, and October 14th, 2023 on the Gregorian calendar. Whoa, now y'all know when we talk about October, don't you? You know, use your roundabouts. Seriously, now you just watch what I'm talking about. Just watch it. Just pay attention. About the third week in October, you're going to see what we're talking about. Now, maybe it won't be as bad. We've been having some pretty good, some pretty good winters. You know, we almost just don't even want to say the word W, winter. But it is so right at the door, you know that. But we are in the fall right now. Beautiful times of year, I'm sure, all over. And the leaves are turning, and it's beautiful. It's quite beautiful. But we know what's coming. Alhamdulillah. So, we are looking at today being the 14th of October. Oh, November, December. Time is just moving along. We're being patient. Yes, we are. Tonight, so that's where we're at here. First of all, before we go any further, I want to thank Martha Naida Abdullah. And my apologies, oh, my dear heart. You, all of you know. Now, you know what these days are like. And usually on my day that I got to come into the studio and work, I'd be saying, all I want to do is do what I got to do in my office, preparing myself for my, you know, for today's program. But oh, no, not going to happen like that. And you all know that. As soon as we think we got, you know, we got something on the table that we got to do, everything lines up to say, well, wait a minute. I want you to do something with me, too, today. And so there I was, not having any remembrance that there was the 50-year human planning. Oh, my apologies. I did get in here a little bit, but I definitely would have been here earlier had I even been on my computer for today. See, it's been so busy, but it's okay. I did get in, and I heard what I did hear, and I want to thank Martha Naila Abdullah. That is one, let me tell y'all, and I know you already know, and not only I am saying this, but many others are saying the very same thing. Oh, my goodness, I say, Allah, you know you're so kind. I can't say where does she get all of that energy from, because I know where she gets it from. It's just having the... What am I wanting to say here? I'm going to use this as a reference, and then it's no, you know, it's just humor. You know that energizer, talk about the battery, you know, and the energizer bunny, and then they compare it to another one, and by that time, that other battery then died on out. That energizer just be steady going on and on and on. You be like, oh, it was 2 days ago and I stopped and you still going? I'm only kidding, y'all. But she does. She has so much energy, and I certainly do appreciate you, Martha Naila. And I'll try and keep an eye and try not to let too many things get involved so that I know. I didn't hear anything about it this afternoon, and I had not been in the studio all day, so I did not remember that we were having the rest of the 50-year But I did get in and get some. See, Allah did bring me on in here. And so I certainly do appreciate your patience and your hard work and dedication. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so that was first. Then secondly, you know, we got that. I got to mention this, everybody. I've got to mention that. You know, we got the war and all of this war. It's horrible. But you know what? I happen to have been doing some research today, right? And I come up on this article about Muslim world in crisis. And then it says, when will the aid of Allah come? And, you know, of course, that just took me right into where the Quran, when the believers, during the Prophet Muhammad's prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, and they were dealing with some situations, and they too were saying, so when will the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that of a surety, the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always near. But in any case, I just thought I would do a little piece of it, not much, but I wanted to just in recognition of what's going on today. You know, we just got through with that, and we're not through with it. We're not through with it, but we had the invasion of who is them folks? You know what I'm talking about? Putin into Kuwait. Who is he? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so we're not even finished with that, and that's destruction upon a Muslim country, okay? Okay, and then you go on, and now you got the, Israel? Allah, you know what I'm talking about. Israel and it's in over there. Come on now. Y'all know my mind has just got so much on it. You know what I'm talking about. But in any case, so when I saw this article in the invasion that they're doing up on the Muslim country, and I'm like, my goodness, this is, oh, Allah help, you know, and the same thing. But, you know, this morning I was on a program. I believe it was in the land of plenty. And the professor, he was saying, Professor Rabbani, he was saying that it's every weekly guest of Imam Umar, Delaysa Umar. But in any case, he was mentioning about the turmoil and the tests and everything that these worlds are going through, this war and stuff, but you don't see them, you know, speaking of Allah, spending one to Allah. And I had to press one because that is the exact thing that I was thinking of. I said, I don't understand this. You know, like the Muslims would be out there for sure saying, hey, oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know we're going through tests. You know, just testifying and praising and glorifying Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that letting the world know that this is where, even though what's going on, this is where their minds, their hearts, and their intentions, and they're making it through this test with the help of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one. I've not heard anyone say anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what he's mentioning this morning. So in this particular article, it says, Muslim world in crisis, when will the aid of Allah come? And it's by Abu Khadija Abdul Wahid Alam. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this just to kind of, you know, get his intake on this here in terms of making reference to the Muslim world and then the crisis that we as Muslims and in that part of the world are in the crisis. So he says, all praise is due to Allah. We praise him. We seek his help and forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own evil actions. Whomsoever Allah highly glorifies, he guides, will not be led astray. And whomsoever he misguides, which, you know, we'll talk about, you know, we'll see about that. I can't see Allah misguiding. I think it's of our own hands that we get misguided, but I'm not going to get into that right now. None can guide. So if Allah withholds his guidance, none can guide one, okay? And then he goes on to say, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone without partner or associate, and that Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, is his slave and messenger, in the final seal of the prophethood. And he goes on to say, we are living in extremely testing times. Testing. You know, we are all tested throughout every days of our lives, you know, that we can look at some situation and we recognize that it's a test. And Muslims need to understand that Allah will only aid the believers when they turn to him in obedience, seeking his aid and his forgiveness. And if they continue to resist, Allah, highly glorified, as he will continue to humiliate them. That's Al-Kafid. It says, and he went on to say, pay attention to this hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, who narrated that the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, when you partake in usury, and I don't know what this means here, hold on to the tails of cattle, become satisfied with cultivation and abandon jihad, Allah will send upon you humiliation and he will not remove it until you return back to your religion. And in here he goes on to say, in this hadith we can see what brings about Allah's humiliation upon the Muslims. And, you know, I'm not going to go any further. We also see the cure, which is to return back to the religion as it was practiced in the time of the Prophet, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. As for jihad and its types, Imam Abdul Rahman stated, jihad is of two types. Firstly, jihad, which is intended to rectification of the Muslims, rectification of their beliefs, their manners and conduct, and all of their religious and worldly affairs, and likewise their cultivation in terms of knowledge and action. This type of jihad is the foundation of jihad and its backbone. And upon this is built the second type of jihad. And this is the intent of this jihad is to repel those who transgress against Islam and the Muslims from among the unbelievers, the hypocrites, the heretics, and the rest of the enemies of Islam and their oppositions. So he goes on to say, jihad with evidences and speech takes precedence over jihad with the sword, arrows, and spearheads. Striving against corruption that has appeared in the beliefs of the people takes precedence over fighting the non-believers. That is because Allah highly glorified is he will aid the believers based upon their worship of him alone, their faith in him, and their obedience to him. Allah highly glorified is he and his messenger. Upon Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he and him alone. Their faith in him and their obedience to Allah and his messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and bounties and blessings are bestowed by Allah to those who deserve them, and they are removed due to corrupt beliefs, disobedience, and sins, and Allah will not lift the humiliation, would not lift the humiliation. The Muslim are suffering and return his blessings unless people return to Islam and the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right here he says, verily Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for a people ill, there is no repelling it, and there is not for them besides him any protector. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there. And I, like I say, when it, you know, it's got so much more to talk about. And I know we all are making prayers for our Muslim brothers and their families, and, you know, we all making duas and prayers for them, that this will cease. But you think about it and you say, well, why are they so bent on fighting rather than being intelligent? And whatever the problem is, put that aside, you know, and they have to come together. You know, I was just thinking, earlier today I was thinking, I said, well, my recommendation would be that do a prayer, you know, and let the people know you're praying, sweetie. Let the people know you're praying. So that way we can all be praying as Muslims and believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. We band together, and it will change this fate of this war and all of this that they're going through. We hurt just as they do. We do. And we just pray a lot for them. And I thought I wanted to just read a little bit of that. And like he was saying, you know, and not all of them, it's not a blanket statement, not all of the Muslims over there are participating in things that they should not, or are not upholding to their faith as they should, you know. And this is why this war and stuff is being incurred upon them, you know, not all of them, but like it was saying earlier, you got to think about it in the worship and the sincerity in your worship and your steadfastness in your faith. It can bring about this change that they need and cease this war at once. Huh? Allah have the power to do such. Alhamdulillah, you read the enemy. So I just wanted to, just do a little bit of, you know, into that, my thinking on that. And, of course, you know, at any time that you got something to say, oh, okay, we do. We have someone to want to come in and and make a comment here. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, sweetheart. I do see you in the queue, but let me go quickly here. I must. I didn't realize I was going through my time for my PSA, and I'll get right back to you, the one that is in the queue, okay? I appreciate you kindly. You're listening to Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, the Preacher Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as always, we ask you to stick and stay. Please do not go away, and we will be right back. And you know what I'm going to open up with: Peace, Love, and Compassion by our own Executive Director of CWSC, Mother Night.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, we are back. And just a reminder to those of you out here in AM360.org land, and you have a question or a comment, you're going to need to dial into the studio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. And press 1, and we'll recognize you and get your mic open and give you that opportunity to share. Connect to our 24-hour live and podcast programming at am360.org or 701-719-4197. And visit our parent corporation community-wide Jura Conference at cwsc.us. Yes, that is us. And check out all of the great information that is available on that website, as well as registering for the MCNRD and getting a look at all of the intelligentsias of the CWSC. You can give us a like on Facebook or also leave us a listener comment at 910-317-0297 at that business office. And we will certainly make sure that someone, if they don't answer right then, not to worry, as my friends say, someone from that office will give you a return call. And remember, you can leave that listener comment at 910-317-0297. And however you choose to connect with us, forward to hearing from you, inshallah. And we do appreciate you kindly. Alhamdulillah. So I do appreciate your patience. I'm going to go to my board before I do anything else here. We're going to go to 810-347, and I think I know who this young man is. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Alice Simon Focus Learning Lab.
Wa alaikum assalam. Brother Abdullah Islamic Center. I was listening earlier. You were saying about Israel, the fight in Israel.
Yes, sir. Palestine.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay.
Palestine is the aggressor right now.
Okay. You know, I thought I saw that. And you know what that made me think? Because when I first heard of this, I heard it says Hamas, launched an attack over on Israel. And I'm thinking, Israel, I'm looking at all big and stuff. You know, Israel, I'm thinking like, and who would do something like that? And I said, well, let me see who Hamas is and where they come from. Well, you know, and as I could remember in my reading, I thought I remember hearing them say that Israel was trying to Hamas is militants, and they wanted to eradicate them. Israel wanted to eradicate them. And so I started doing a little bit more in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they want to get rid of them because of the land. They want the whole land for themselves. Now, it was a discussion about it when they first went down, but both sides just started taking what they want, and that's what Israel is doing to Palestine, is taking what they want, basically.
Okay, so necessarily, I know Hamas did launch an attack on Israel, but it was after they did an attack on them. That's my understanding. That they did it.
Yes, but the initial argument, remember, was over the land. The initial argument. So I don't know who was battling who. I heard that they attacked them when they first, you know, got over there. They was rebelling and attacking them with stones and attacking them in the villages that they both was living in at the time, because they was mixed together at once, and so they didn't like the treatment, so they went to, you know, they just formed their own country and kicked them out off the land that belonged to them. Actually, it belonged to Palestine, but Palestine lost it in the war. So, I mean, and then I believe it ain't going to be no more left of Palestine, you know. So that's going to be available for them to get to, you know.
You know, in my limited research, I'm not saying at all that I'm all versed in this, because I'm not, because when I first heard it, I just wanted to know how did all this come about anyway. And like that particular article, you know, that I was reading, and I remember in that article somewhere it was, and in the Quran, Allah was speaking something about he allowed them to attack in their homes and things, and their churches and stuff, and I believe that was Israel attacked it into Palestinian homes and things, and was this due to the disobedience or of that nature that they were having in the religion and to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that caused them to be broken upon. But I'm just still looking at it.
The first initial feel of it was that Israel was wrong for coming and taking land and getting on land, squatting on land that wasn't theirs. So that was the whole deal at first, you know. And then, you know, it's proven who land it is, you know, because, I mean, this is Allah's earth. But, I mean, you got men who want to say that this is mine and, you know, this belonged to me. So that's what they doing, Israel doing now, saying this belong to us, and ain't nothing nobody else can do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. And militarily then, are you saying then that Israel is more established than Palestine?
Israel way more. Israel, what they fixed to do, what Netanyahu said he fixed to do, was turn Palestine to a parking lot. So after he get done bombing and they doing the U.S. supporting it and doing what they do, it probably ain't going to be nothing left, you know, to even fight over, you know. You know, it'd just be empty land, I guess.
Mm. Now, any others in the audience, if you'd like to address this, we certainly shed a little bit more light on, certainly would appreciate that. But, you know, I'm certainly appreciating you, young man, for, you know, pressing one and sharing what information that you know and understand about the situation. And, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm looking, wow, you know, I'm like, I'm looking at that, though, you know. It reminds me that in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, sometimes an army can be a little bitty, you know, just, you know, like in this case here, we really, I'm like, oh my God, they got all of the military, the tanks and everything. They could just drive right on up in there and just clear things right on out. And matter of fact, this is what is in their plans to do. But I'm still looking at, now here we go, like that article I was reading that Imam was saying, but you see, that's when it comes into this jihad of obedience, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm standing firm and knowing that the angels, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send the help of the angels. To even though if it's a small force and it will overcome a large. So it's going to, you know, what I'm seeing, like I said earlier today, I'm thinking that, all of the Muslims, you know, over there in Palestine, you know, they need to just do all day, all night prayer and, you know, just calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Because when they say, when come the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he responds, and he says, the help of Allah, highly glorified, he is always near. So,
and which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? They got, if they just turn around, they got all of them Arab countries. They can go anywhere. I mean, they should accept the Muslims anywhere, you know, in Arab territory, you know, and give Israel that junk. It ain't nothing but junk no way. They fighting over really nothing, you know. The Muslims should make peace with that and leave that alone. They shouldn't dig in that like that, you know. But that's my
outlook. Alhamdulillah. Well, we certainly do appreciate you, Brother Abdullah, and stepping in here and sharing that information and giving us that insight that Allah highly glorified us. He has blessed you with. We certainly do appreciate that. Alhamdulillah.
I appreciate that.
I'm gonna put you in the mute, and you'll be able to press one and go back out. And should you have any other sharing that you want to do, then you'll just press one once again, and I will recognize you. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. And press that one to complete the process. Isn't that wonderful? You know, alhamdulillah. Well, you know, all of our minds, we're Muslims, so all of our minds is on this situation and on what's going on in the world today in terms of war, because we are about peace. You know, that's what we are about as Muslims, really, peace. I never had heard of that, and I guess I'll do a little bit more research on that, because if it's that insignificant necessarily, you know, if you're just saying, well, it was mine and, you know, and you, I'm not going to allow you to take it, but if it might be the test to give it up. It might be just the test to give it up. So alhamdulillah, that's pretty appeasing outlook there, young man. I do appreciate that. Okay. All right, everyone, here we go. This day, let me tell you what we had got. I said, okay, Allah, so I'm going to see where we're at. Right here. So tonight, we're going to continue discussing establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, Al-Khaliq, and relationship with this creation, okay? What I wanted to do tonight, too, I wanted us to have a discussion, because I'm going to start going through Al-Asma ul-Husna. Now, this is an opportunity for those of you that are new on the line, whether you're here on the line or whether you're out in am360.org land, this is going to give you an opportunity to, begin and write down the Al-Asma ul-Husna, which, of course, those of you that are currently here every week or, you know, here have been here and do know what it is, then we're going to share. But we have to keep an eye out on those that may just be coming, okay? So as I always say, this is a discussion of establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the information, seasoned Muslims, you know, once, hey, we done took our shahada some time ago, we done some research and some reading, we kind of understand here, and, you know, we in here. And we like, so some of the information may be very familiar, you already know, and alhamdulillah, and you can always press one and share anything extra that, you know, perhaps maybe I won't bring up. But I'm mainly concerned with, yes, the newcomers, the new shahada, the new believer, because all believers are not necessarily Muslims. But for those that have taken their shahada, they are Muslims. And so for the new shahada, then this is information that is very pertinent to the growth of your knowledge and information of Al-Islam. And it's going to definitely help in establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is he, Al-Khaliq, the creator. Okay? So we want to have a discussion with Al-Asma ul-Husna, which are the 99 known beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are learning so much. I'm so excited because I'm going to tell you something. Every program, I said, oh Allah, guide me to the information that you want me to disseminate, you know, this evening. But that's my learning as well as yours. So I'm never in no way acting like, oh, I already know this here. And I'm just sharing it with you. Oh, I didn't. And the more information that I'm learning, I'm just totally ecstatic, you know, like, oh, Allah, thank you so kindly. That's what I'm doing. So we want to have a discussion with how Al-Asma ul-Husna and how they are operating in our daily lives, because remember, that was the whole focus on Al-Asma ul-Husna, because the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, as for those that already have been here and they know, and this is for the new information for those of you just coming, that the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, he said that the learning of the Al-Asma'ul Husna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, when we learn them, and learn them and incorporate them in our daily lives, ooh, my goodness, we earn ourselves a seat in paradise. And that is the total objective of humankind. We're talking about the 50-year human planning. Well, this is certainly a part of it. Alhamdulillah. So we want to know. We want to have a discussion, if you will, upon you, if you want to, have a discussion of how the Al-Asma'ul Husna is operating in your daily life. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That's what we're talking about. So with that, let's see. I'm going to get started. Let's see what I have over here. Hold on now. Don't nobody get too excited. Okay. Now, establishing this relationship with Allah, our colleague, the creator. Listen, what I found out, I got to share. Because, we, you know, last week we talked about what is the difference between Allah and Almighty God. Okay. Do you need to go back over that? Let's just go back over just a brief over there just to bring us up to the front. Well, we know Allah, highly glorified is he. Allah is the proper noun. Is a proper noun. You know, in school we learn noun, pronouns, adjective, adverb, and all these things, okay? It's a proper noun. Person, place, thing, existence of a spirit. Now one can say it's a thing, person, place, a thing, you know. So, the proper noun, Allah, highly glorified is he, solely belongs to the Almighty God. And the question was, what is the difference between Allah and Almighty God? The truth, it said, the proper noun, Allah, solely belongs to Almighty God, the truth. Anything succeeding it is regarded as an adjective. Adjective. You know, we just talking about noun, pronoun, adjective, yada. You know, the adjective is describing it, okay? So we know Allah is he. None like him. None, you know, it's stand alone. He is God. The Almighty God. And anything after that will describe him, okay? While it remains a noun, it's indicative of the true God. It combines all his attributes, and it needs no introduction from others. Whereas the other attributes, or I should say, attain recognition when added. Oh, he is stand alone, and the attributes describe him. Okay, alhamdulillah. The Quran says about Allah's nature, highly glorified is he, in Surah 39, Ayah 3. The Quran is filled with descriptions of Allah's nature, often through attributes and special names, like the Al-Asma'ul Husna. The Merciful, Al-Rahim, the All-Seeing, Al-Basir, the Magnificent, Al-Azim, etc., okay, are all names which describe Allah's nature. Allah, highly glorified is He, is seen as distinct from His creation. Alhamdulillah. Now, ooh, I'm so excited because I learned that there are three categories of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we're talking about relationships. See, we're establishing this relationship, and you got to know who you're dealing with, what are you all about now, before you can actually get a relationship. See, because if you don't get to know who He's about, who He is, you know, then you'd be like, it won't be that important to you to even learn, you know, even though if they say you're going to get a seat in paradise, somehow, you know, some people think that, oh, I'll get there. I don't have to learn the Al-Asma ul-Husna. Well, I'm just telling you what the information was passed on to us in the generation and time now about learning the attributes, okay? And so in these three, in the three categories of coming to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who He is, we come to know that there are attributes that are ascribed, to the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Himself, and is called Sifat Hatiya. You know, if anybody got any different pronunciation, you know you can do that. Sifat or Sifat Hatiya. And these are the attributes that ascribe the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He is. Then we got the second category is attributes that are ascribed to His actions. Ooh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And these are called sifat filia. Sifat, now, that sifat is the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the self of Allah, sifat. And the sifat hatiya describes His self, Him, Allah. And sifat filia ascribes to His actions, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third category is is ascribed to both the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His actions together. Which is the sifat hatiya and sifat filia. Ooh, inshallah, inshallah. I'm learning, and just wait till we get off into action, learning the language and really get in there. Right now, this is just skimming the surface to bring us our mindset into learning about our Lord and Cherisher and the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all between, just learning of Him, you know. So these are the three categories of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So excited. I am, y'all. I'm totally excited. Let me just check my board because I don't want to hold you up because, you know, I will get the chat. Okay, great. Okay, so these are the three categories of the Al-Asma ul-Husna, which is going to be descriptions of the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His actions, it's going to be some of them is action. I've got some examples here as we go. And then the final category is going to be both of them, himself and his actions right there in that one Asma Ulusna, right there in that, you know, right together. Okay? Okay, now. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, we got the three. Now, we're going to go to the definition of each one of them. Yeah, so just as for did it change on me? This guy here, as for, they got Asifat Ad-Hatiya, which we said up here was just plain Safifat Hatiya, which is the attributes that describe the self of Allah. Okay, now as for them, let's see, these are intrinsically bound to the self of Allah, such that he never ceases and will never cease to be described with them. And so I went through there, you know, trying to work this out, y'all. Work it out. And I know you got your pens and your papers now. Did y'all need me to spell anything? And I do apologize that I hadn't spelled. But if you say, well, I don't remember, and just give me, and I'll spell it, okay? Okay, now, it says that these are bound to the self of Allah, and he never ceases and will never cease to be described with them. Examples are the giver of life, you know, so Al-Hayat, the giver of life. See, so he is life. He is life. And that's just... He is life. He is the ever-living. He is the all-knowing. He is, Arabic in it too. He is the giver of life. He is life and the giver of life. So that in its way can be one of the third categories too. Remember, because the first category was it describes him himself in his own self. See, and he is life. You know he life because he the one that created. So as they say, it takes life to know life. You know what I'm saying? I'm just teasing, you know. But I'm just saying. So he created. So he is life. So that's ascribed to him. Nothing can get in the way of that. He is the giver of life because he created. So now, remember, the second, the first described him, Allah, and the second described his actions, and the third category said it will have both himself and his actions in that Al-Asma Ul-Husna. So here we go. Like we said, now we got life, Al-Hayat, the giver of life, and then we got he is the ever living, and that's just going to be forever, ever, ever, ever. So that is, and that is who he is, and nothing can change that. He is Al-Alim, the all-knowing. Nothing can get in the way. Nothing can ever come up and stand up and say, oh, I'm all-knowing. Nope, can't do it. Because he is. This is who Allah highly glorified is. This is who we are. As his servants are establishing our relationship with him. Okay? Okay, so then So these, and then he is of himself and his ability, he is Al-Muqtadir, the all-powerful. All-powerful. You know what I'm saying? He is who he is. And he is Al-Baqi, the everlasting. Everlasting and ever, ever. Always. And then, of course, he is, I'm not going to do all of them. It's just so many more, but I'm just taking out a few. And then that is going to be ascribed to who Allah, highly glorified as he is. And he is Al-Hakim, the all-wise. Yes, say all-wise. And these are, and there's other attributes of the self. They are referred to as, now, I see, A-D-H, and I believe that's Ad-Hatiya. I'm doing it according to my phonics, everybody, what I learned in school, inshallah. But, you know, I always say, now, you got something, hey, lay it out on me. I'm learning too. And but all these attributes that we just mentioned now, because they are intrinsically bound to the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these are what they are. Sifat Hatiya. Okay, that was the first category. Okay, let's move on. We're looking at the second category. I know you all are excited because I'm just totally just excited with just knowing. It's so much more for us to learn. But you know, right here on Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab, it's like I heard a young man say the other day, a dear friend of mine, he says, but you know, when you come in here, you're going to always learn something. We can't say we're going to learn it all because it's so much information. What we get the basics of it. You can do as much more research as you want to do, and I will continue to do more research and bring it to you. But that we get off the jump, right off the top, you know, where you're just laying it out so you can at least put it where you can understand it. That's what we try to do here on Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab. That's what we try to do. Okay, so now the second category are the attributes ascribed to the actions, Allah's actions, highly glorified is he. And remember, those are as-sifat, al-filiyah. As-sifat, al-filiyah. And, of course, these are the attributes that are ascribed to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these actions, they are the attributes connected to his will. And they, to his will, and are not intrinsically or naturally bound to his self. You know, like I say, these are the actions. And this is what he decides to do. You know, he makes this determination, you know. And as it says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, and he is the best to determine. Thank you so kindly. And so that's where we at. Now that's the second one, okay? And some examples of these as-sifat al-filiyah, his actions are like Al-Muqtadir, the expediter, expediting anything, pushes it forward, moves it forward, is an action. And this is the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I see some here. Let me see some. You know, I'm constantly T-E. Okay, let's do this. Okay, let's do this. Let's see what we got right here. Stop it. Y'all know my, you know my computer's trying to act up, don't you? Okay, so the expediter. And then we got another action. Allah highly glorified is he, is al-Muakahir. Muakahir. And that's the delayer. So he expedites and he delays action. He, and I'm not doing them all because we, you know, remember we got 99 of them. So I'm pretty sure there's many more that we can kind of bring together, and we will as we go along. But right now, you know, I'm just putting these few out here so we can get, you know, pull it together and understand these are actions now. These are the categories, remember, that Allah highly glorified as he is in the Al-Asma'ul Husna. This is what they are about, you know. And so what we're doing is establishing who we're dealing with here, everybody. Don't play. We're establishing who we're dealing with. And it's very important and very urgent that we get to know our Lord, you know, I mean, for real. Because you know how it go. We never know what day and time, but we do know for certain that we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to be as abreast and as studious as we can be and going on getting this taken care of as much as we can. And even if we go before we learn them all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? He judges us on our intent. Oh, alhamdulillah. So you got it in your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your intentions. Don't worry about it. If he takes you before then, if he calls you before then, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about the fact, oh, I didn't learn them all, then what about? Mm-mm. Because Allah, highly glorified as he has already said, he judges us on our intentions. And, okay. So these are actions. Al-Musawir, he is the fashioner of forms, you know, et cetera. You know what I'm talking about? You know, he fashions, yeah, action, you know, like when he made man, he fashioned him in that mold, you know, fashion us, you know. So these are attributes that ascribe to his actions. Okay, and that's the second category. Now, these are all attributes ascribed to his actions and connected to his will. If he wills to do this action, he does these actions. If he wills not to do these actions, hey, they don't get done. So they don't get done because that's what he said, I'm not doing that. And none can make him do it. And none can keep him from doing it. So alhamdulillah. So we see that second category of the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, remember Fatiha and Al-Filiya. These are the two that are combined. You know, these combined. This is the third category, combining who Allah is and his actions together. Now, you know, like I got a few down here. I got a few down here, and I'm gonna see what we get. Like, they can ascribe to who Allah, highly glorified as he is, and they can ascribe to the action of what he's doing. Okay. So it says these attributes to ascribe to both himself and his actions. Then if one was to consider this type of attribute, he would find that Allah, highly glorified is he, never ceases and will never cease to be described with it. So it is intrinsically bound to the self, the hat of Allah, highly glorified is he. And if anyone was to consider its occurrence, he would find that it is also connected to his will and not intrinsically bound to the self, which is of Allah, hat. Okay. Now, what did I do here? It says because the scholars use an example, the speech, kalam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, and words, al-kalam. Oh, okay, I think I'm kind of recognizing here. Speech and words. So, it is Allah, that is himself, that is he, who he is. And the speech, his words, would ascribe to the self, and his speech to his perfection. You see, speech, action, Allah, who he is, and his speech is the action of him. So, speaking is from the sifat filia, which is ascribed to his action, because it is done according to his will, when he wills, and he is al-Khaliq, him being the creator, and he creates. So you see how it's connected there with who he is and what he does. I know you all were taking good notes. Let me just check my board here, and I do apologize. Let me just check here. Okay, everybody's awful quiet this evening. That's all right. I love you too, and I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you kindly. And I just pray a lot that all this is resonating with you. I know it's a lot of information. I do know this. It's a lot for me to even try to put it together so that I can present it in the most simplest terms as I can, comprehend it. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing me to do so. Okay, so with that, we done went through the three categories. Oh, Al-Asma'ul Husna and what they do. And so with that, we're going to get ready to take our first pause for our public service announcement and important information. And when we get back, we're going to start our discussion on Al-Asma'ul Husna and how it is relating to us in our daily lives. We'll start, none, y'all. You know we got to do this. Okay. We're going to be ready. You're listening to Alice Mime and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, Aprita Abdul Hadi, and we're going to take our pause for our public service announcement and very important information. And as always, we say to you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Inshallah. Where we at?
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fiddler as its bait. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.
Alhamdulillah, I'm not going to play another PSA from that one. And you know what? I hadn't necessarily planned on playing that particular PSA, but that's, you know how you're going to do something and then it comes to what it's supposed to be there again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. And we are being his servant. We act according. See, he have us do what we don't even know ourselves we going to do. You know? Alhamdulillah. So that's what it was. But I played that, since I played it, that was Dr. Jamal Rashid. And as he was stating, that you know that he has a presentation, a program, Critical Issues, on every Thursday morning. He and him and his co-host, you know what I'm talking about, Henry Aziz. And, well, this week, if you don't know, and I'm sharing with you now, and if you do know, then alhamdulillah, we all say, may Allah bless him to paradise. He returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dr. Jamal Rashid. He returned to Allah this week, and we pray Allah's mercy and forgiveness on the brother, and to bless him with the paradise. And to that we say, I mean. And that was my reasoning to have played that particular PSA. Alhamdulillah. Okay, just a reminder now, you know, if you're out there in AM360.org land, as well as here in the studio, if you in the AM360.org land and you want to come in and make a comment or share some information about what is being disseminated, you're going to need to dial in at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and press 1. And we will certainly recognize you and give you that opportunity. We want you to encourage you to visit our parent corporation, community-wide Shura Conference at cwsc.us. That is us all together. We are one. You know, it was a song out early. I ain't going to get into it, but you know, it was We Are One. And it was a pretty song, too. I'm going to have to Google it. Sometime after we get off, and I might, you know, be able to play. But I remember somebody, We Are One. But in any case, that's what it does. Us does makes one. And you can email us if you have a question or some information you want to share by email. You would do that at info@cwsc.us and leave that information, and I'm pretty sure we'll get right back to you, okay? Come to the line. Also, you can leave us that listener comment at 910-317-0297. And remember, however you choose to reach out to us, we got you covered. And we look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly do appreciate your kindness. Alhamdulillah. Okay, now, this is where we're going to go here now. Tell you why. I was saying now, this is for us to reflect and share how Al Asma ul Husna, that's what you have learned. Even if I don't get to go through, and I won't get to go through all of them, however, and maybe I will not get to even mention the one that you may have ascribed to that is really set out in your mind that is taking place in your life, you want to share to us how asthma ul husna is relating to you in your life. Because you're listening, you're here because you want to be here. You're here because you want to learn what's being disseminated. So in doing so, then you'll be able to share all of those beautiful notes that you're taking and share with us at Asma ul Husna on a daily basis in your life. Alhamdulillah. So with that, we're going to start right at number one. And we will continue to pick up each week as many as we can, and you can share with us. Because this is all strengthening that relationship we are establishing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Asma ul Husna gives us the opportunity to learn. So at any time, you can press 1 and let me know how the particular attribute in Asma ul Husna that we make mention of and share. You will be having that opportunity to press 1 and say, hey, yeah, that one right there stands out, because I know every day how I recognize it in my daily my daily life, okay? So we're going to start with Al-Rahman. And see, now this is going to give those, this is going to be sort of like a, you know how you learn something and you go back and you go over it, not picking up the word right now, but I'm thinking of a reminder, even if we say that, a reminder to those that know it. And it's new information for those that are just coming, and they were like, oh, is this what the Asma ul Husna is about? Okay, now I know what to look out for, okay? So we're going to start with Al-Rahman, the most compassionate. And as we stated, you know, Al-Rahman is the most compassionate, you know. And specifically relevant to Allah, because none besides him can be called or referred to as such. Al-Rahman, he is the most gracious, the most passionate, you know. And you think about your life and you're going through your life on a daily basis, and you see the compassion that Allah highly glorified as he has on you and with you in your humanness, being his servant. You can't get away from the humanness of being his servant. We see how compassionate and kind he is to us. So we're going to go on into Al-Rahim. Of course, we know that Al-Rahim, I'm not doing any spelling, but if you want to get a spelling, you can press 1 and ask to get a spelling. We can do that. But I pretty much sound it out. It's pretty much, you know, in your phonics, and you listening to it, you'll be able to decipher a spelling, and if you need to get some update or corrections on it or anything, you say, well, I got it like this here, but is this the proper spelling? Would you give me the proper spelling if this isn't? Okay. So we're going to Al-Rahim, which is the second beautiful name, Al-Asma'ul Husna, of Al-Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Rahim. And Al-Rahim, of course, Al-Rahim is the most merciful, the all-merciful. Can't nobody be as merciful as he is. And think about it. As merciful as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have us to be in our own innate creation, we still can't meet his mercy. And he says in the Quran, he says, form my servants that I am the forgiving, which we know that's Al-Ghafar, the merciful, Al-Rahim. And we'll find that in Surah, in the Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 49. Say, mercy and compassion actually goes hand in hand. His goodness and his kindness and his mercy. Come on now, you're looking at your life, and that's what we're doing. The question is, how Al-Asma'ul Husna that you're learning is operating in your life on your daily basis, in your life. Because if you're learning them, you're going to be recognizing them when they come up in your life. Now, we're getting on down here, so let me just check my board. I don't want to leave nobody hanging too long. Okay, come to the law. So, Al-Rahim is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know what else I'm saying? Okay. Take a look at that. Our rock man is who? And remember those three categories. Remember the three categories. Is the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself is our rock man, the most compassionate. And he is Al-Rahim, the most merciful. Now, check this out. Check this out now. He is also, now this is me kind of looking into this with what little information that I have thus attained by Allah's permission, that the Arab man is who Allah is. He is the compassionate. He is who he is. He's compassionate. But check this out. He also, in his actions, gives compassion to his servant. In his action, first of all, he is Rahim, the merciful, and he gives mercy. Okay? So when we were talking about the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these attributes speaks and teaches us of himself. And then that the other, then it also the attributes describes his actions. So himself is Rahman, Rahim, and can't none other be him like that. Because if you think about it, as much as compassion and mercy that we can have, it will never, ever even get close to the compassion and the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to give to us. We can't even give that to one another. We'll try to give our best in compassion and mercy, but just remember, Allah highly glorified is He is compassion. He is the merciful. Alhamdulillah. Okay. And He tells us in 1549, inform my servants that I am the forgiving, the merciful. In 1549. Okay, we're going to go here to the next Asma Husna, the next beautiful name, an attribute of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Malik. Al-Malik. Now, this stands alone. I'm just looking at from the information that, he stands alone. He is Al-Malik, the sovereign, the only, Al-Malik, the sovereign. Now, you know what that took me to just then? You know what it took me to? It took me to also Al-Ahad and Al-Ahad, and it's all of them fall in the same category, the one. He is the one, the only one, the only one that has sovereign over the creation, over the heavens and the earth and all between. You know, you might say, well, Al-Malik conveys the meaning of the one who is free by virtues of his own merits and characteristics from depending on anything in existence. Okay. So that shows right there how he is the sovereign. See, nothing in existence can do without him, yet he can do without everything that is in existence, because everything and everyone only came about from his kindness, from his sovereignty. Y'all with me? I know you're with me. Alhamdulillah. So, nothing in existence can do without him, whereas everything that exists derives its existence from him and because of him. Everything and everyone is his. It belongs to him. He, Allah, highly glorified is the Al-Malik, the sovereign. Ooh. I know it just makes you feel so good and so happy. And I really appreciate you all being here and enjoying this, you know, because I'm totally, learning is just always has been for myself. I've always been an eager learner, and I try to learn it and be able to disseminate it, you know, in the most simplest forms that I can. Because the Quran, if you think about the Quran, it's in its simple form. It's not complicated. Okay, let me check my board here. Let me see. Oh, we do have a caller, and I won't delay you any longer. And I appreciate you kindly. 314-833, this is my dear brother. Oh, welcome to Alice Simon Focus Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. State your name, young man, and where you're calling from.
Alaikum assalam to you, my dear sister, the priest of Abdul Hadi, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. And I'd like to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. I just been tuning in and just listening in to the information that you're disseminating and all, and just, you know, thinking. And I didn't want to interrupt you because I wanted you to be able to obtain your objective for the Learning Lab and all. And I think this was the time that you had designated for those who listen to maybe chime in. So I thought I would chime in with a little information that may be helpful in terms of Husma Nusna, in terms of the many names and attributes that ascribe to Allah, and those categories in which you gave, in terms of some just exclusively to the self. You know, nature is, you know, I know the book and all, they may say nature, but that wouldn't be good in terms of mm-hmm. Allah, because there's nothing that's comparable to him. Allah is alcoholic in that when he creates the animate world, he gives it a nature. And one of the mm-hmm. prophets actually said, you know, it is you, Allah, that knows what is in myself and my nature because you created it, but I don't know what's in yourself, you see, in that regard. So Allah is the one that creates the nature, but there's nothing comparable to him in that regard. We only get to know Allah indirectly, and we learn something about Allah in the natural creation. And then the natural creation, it is in part revelation, revealing to us some of these attributes, you know, in Isma al-Nusna, in terms of who God is and what he reveals to us. You know, as I was listening to you, those first three, Al-Rahman, it's translated or expressed in different ways. The most gracious, Al-Rahim, the most merciful. And that's good. That's good in that regard. Our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, has given another expression that I think really brings it home and really give more depth to Al-Rahman as the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful benefactor. And you asked the question in terms of our relationship, what our relationship is. Just think about benefactor, you know, that he's the most merciful benefactor, and that we, as human beings, we are the beneficiary. Just think about just in human life, and just think about the word beneficiary. You know, the things that Allah has blessed. Let's say, let's look at it from a human perspective, so we'll have, I think, a better look at the beneficence of Allah, the most merciful benefactor. On a human level, the human being can acquisition many things, maybe wealth, a lot of money, material things, and all of those things. But one day, that person that have acquired all of these things would have to leave. It's going to transition. So will they be able to take those things with them? No. So Allah says in the Quran that there should be some type of testament or a will or a trust that should be made out to those that are left behind in your family. And Allah don't even leave you hanging on that. He even tells you how much should be given to members of the family. It's an inheritance. And mm-hmm. so that term is called beneficiary. So those who have insurance policies, once again, life insurance policies, you see that ultimately it's designed to cover you in terms of your service and burial and all of that. And usually people have enough or maybe a little bit more that's left. And so a beneficiary has to be named. So that would go to whoever you have on this as a beneficiary. If a mother or father have children, they may put all of their names down there and they divide it up. Okay, so I'm just kind of giving a picture of what it is that we can relate to as being a beneficiary and the one that is the benefactor. But the most merciful benefactor is Almighty God, Allah. And what it is that he has given to us as an inheritance. And it is the whole of the natural creation, the whole of the natural world that he created, as I'll call it, the whole of the universe. It was created to give its utility. Utility is what it is that is given to aid and to assist the human being. And so Allah is the most merciful benefactor, and we as human beings, we are the beneficiaries of that. Allah doesn't need anything. He's independent of everything. You see, when we say as-samad, which is an attribute of Allah used one time in the Quran and al-ikhlas, it means that Allah is the eternal, but he's the absolute, meaning mm-hmm. that he's not in need of anything. The human being is the one that's in need of things, and Allah is showing his mercy in that we don't have to ask for those things that we actually need. And Allah is given those things without request. I mean, he know that we need vitamin D. Vitamin D is in the sun, but the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. So you get that. That's just one benefit. And when we look at Al-Rahman, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, you know, we look in the Quran where Al-Rahman is actually used in the Quran. Now, I noticed that they didn't put in a reading, but this is one of the surahs or chapters for the new Shahadas in the season two that they can go to. And I've often heard many believers say that this chapter, 55, is one of their favorite chapters. And it's titled what? Al-Rahman. And then what does Allah start off the first verse by saying? Al-Rahman. Al-Rahman. The most merciful the most merciful benefactor. He taught the Quran and then created the man. And then he taught him intelligent, clear speech. So this is a mercy coming from Allah to his human creation. You say, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't he have created the man? Yeah, he created the man, but the man doesn't really fully come to life without that second breath that Allah has created him for. And that is that he gives him revelation. He's creating the man that he wants to be on the earth, or to be the Khalifa, or to be the one that he gives the freedom or responsibility to for himself and for his natural creation. So this is a benefit. And then it goes on. Which of your favorites will you deny? Oh, this is so beautiful. I think it's asked about 31 times. And those who read the Quran, and you read the Quran, this is all given in terms of Ar-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor. So it's referring to the favors of Allah. And sometimes, which of the two will you deny? No one whose conscience will deny any of the favors. The favors are the things that are a benefit to us. And it's Allah's grace being the most gracious in terms of giving favors, you know, to us. We didn't ask for them. We didn't request them. It was not something that we had to do for them. Allah just give it to us. So Allah is asking the question. It's one of his similitudes. As Allah says, I use every similitude to reach you, with to reach you, to teach you, so that you could have a better relationship. We talk about how we relate. You can have a better relationship in terms of loving Allah for what it is that he has given to us. And nobody in their right mind would deny these favors. And you have to understand at the time that the Quran was revealed, and these things that Allah is telling you that he has created, he has made for us, most of this, a lot of this was not known to man in terms of his knowledge base, the science in which Allah has created. Every science, whether it's a hard science or called a soft science, Allah is the one that has created everything that we learn in school in terms of science. Any knowledge that is of benefit, it comes from the natural creation. Please take note. It comes from the natural creation, and Allah is alcoholic. He is the creator. And what it is that we study in terms of the nature of the animate and the inanimate world, Allah is the one that has deposited those benefits in those things that he has created. And he has given the human being the akal, the intellect that all human beings have, to be able to extrapolate, to study, to observe the creation like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did, and then come to the conclusion, to come to the final conclusion, the al-haq, the truth, the reality, that there can be no God that's more deserving to be served or worshiped except for one God, that we say Allah. And Allah means the God. And if you're talking to people that haven't heard that, you say, the God what? You go back to the Quran, the God that has created the skies, the heaven, what you see, is it called heavenly bodies, and has created the earth and all in between, that which you see and that which you don't see, you know. See, so nobody can do that. So this attribute is both. It is an attribute of the self of God, but is also the action of his, the will of his action, in terms that man is constantly and continuously discovering more and more that is, in fact, a benefit or a utility to the human being. And then you have Ar-Rahman. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Well, I probably said enough. I won't go any further, but I can go further into Ar-Rahim. It sometimes is saying, I'll just say this and I'll stop, that the most merciful the most merciful, and it stops right there. That's good. But both of them contain mercy. They have the same root, rachma. They're both of them are mercy. But this is a different type of mercy in terms of just only in terms of forgiveness. But Allah puts the human being back on the right track with Al-Rahim. You see, when Adam slipped, what happened? Mm-hmm. It tells us in terms of the human being when we slip, when we become unconscious, when we disobey God, you understand? And we meet with a word. What do you mean a word? A word of revelation. This is how Allah redeems the human being. He's always redeemed the human being through revelation. He didn't have to have a man to come and give his life, to sacrifice his life, to shed his blood. Oh, boy, see, this is even deeper. Now, you talk about, you know, wanting to see how is it that we should relate to God. Allah didn't just create us and leave us. When he gave us freedom and free will, he knew that the human being was going to make some mistakes and errors. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. Mm-hmm. Only Allah, when we say subhanAllah, we say subhanAllah, that means that Allah is perfect. He's above making mistakes, errors, and having shortcomings. The human being is not, he's not above that. So he knows that the human being is going to do that. So this mercy is to actually redeem the human being. And he does that through revelation as he dealt with the first human being, Adam, and the first prophet, because he's called the first prophet because revelation came to him and guidance came to him through that revelation. And this mercy redeems and brings a consciousness back to the human being so that the human being can come back to the realization of what God's command is and then ask for repentance, and Allah grants him that forgiveness, you know, in terms of asking. But that mercy is a special type of mercy, you know. Yes, and I could go on, you know, just talking about just these two mercies, because they're so very, very extensive in terms that, yes, this is ascribed to the self, but it is also ascribed to the will of God in terms of his action and what it is that he has done for the human being. So once you know and you understand that in the whole of the Quran, you're going to be seeing Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, and what tells us best about that? We should get a concordance. Okay. We should get a concordance or go to Quran Corpus, those of you on the Internet, and every word that is in terms of Al-Rahman, where it's located in the Quran, in the ayat, you read it and read it slow, it'll tell you more in terms of how Allah is the most merciful benefactor, how he is the most merciful Redeemer. I can say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there. Thank you so much. You gave me the opportunity to give my knuckles worth in this. This is excellent. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and us and increase us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of his words, his will, and his way, and that we become better servants unto Allah by performing the work that would be pleasing to his cause.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly, Brother Mark. We appreciate you dearly. As you all can see, we're now entering into my grill, and I have got 60 seconds here left. And we thank you so kindly, Brother Mark, for sharing that information. And inshallah, maybe next week you can come back and share more with us. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, my dear.
Amila.
Yes. Okay, alhamdulillah. I want to remind everyone to join us tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time with Sadi al-Islam. with our dear sister Fitra Muhammad. And then again, starting at 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, Khalida Akbar Aziz. Princess Aziz it is, keeping it real. And then at 5 o'clock, Contemplations of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad with Imam and Michael Hameen. And I want to appreciate everybody for being here today. And inshallah, bless us with a fantastic upcoming week. And Jumma Mubarak, we came in with hugs and love to you. We're going to leave out with hugs and love to you. And inshallah, we look forward to seeing you next week at the same time, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on AM 360. And we want to remember the homeless, those who are ill, those who have returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are at war, and may Allah suffice them all with his kindness and his mercy. And to that we say, I mean. Big old hugs and love to you. Go on out. Love you dearly. Look forward to seeing you, inshallah, next week. May Allah bless us with a good night rest and a blessed rising. I mean, I'm going to leave out with this. I think this is a song. I'm going to try this out. That was Humanity Music by Abdul Wali Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullah, inshallah. Look forward to hearing from you all next week. Hugs and love.